No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here on a Wednesday. Didn't get a whole lot of action. In fact, didn't get any at all with the Indianapolis Colts come trade deadline. We definitely saw some moves going throughout the league, but none of them were for the Colts. I mean, we heard Vontae Davis may get traded, right? Then we heard even some stuff about T.Y. Hilton. There was even a mention of Anthony Costanzo, Dante Moncrief. There was a bunch of names basically from the Colts that were, you know, apparently in trade talks, at least that they were fielding phone calls, the Indianapolis Colts were, and none of it happened. I mean, if we're looking at it, look, I think that I said from the beginning that there's no reason for a T.Y. Hilton trade. I know that people are down on him this year, but guys, man, what, four straight 1,000-yard seasons, three-time Pro Bowler, led the league last year. Definitely a game changer when he is given the opportunity downfield. I mean, that's unmistakable for the most part. I mean, he does have some mistakes, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying in general, as a player, with his skill set, he is an absolute game changer at times. Now, he can do that with yards after the catch as well. And he can do it just on the deep balls. He hasn't had a whole lot of that over the past few games. Neither has Moncrief. And for the most part, look, Moncrief was a third-round draft pick. Probably couldn't have gotten anything more than a fifth for him if they were to trade him, just because of his, you know, his holistic career thus far. You know, he was pretty good last year in the red zone. Nothing in between the 20s. He hasn't done anything this year. A couple years ago, looked like he was coming up, but you know, he was one of the guys that a lot of fantasy people, especially Matt Harmon, thought that Moncrief was really set to break out. He's not done that, and he just really hasn't shown that he's, you know, even really leaning towards that, I don't think, in the past year. And that's something that, you know, continues to baffle us, knowing that the guy's got some of that potential, and he just hasn't realized even probably a half of it yet. But you know what? If there's a guy that can get hot too at times, it's Moncrief. So I think that Moncrief would have been probably the best trade as far as what you're going to get for what you're losing. Because if you're supposed to trade T.Y. Hilton, which obviously we're heading back to this, Moncrief's not getting re-signed next year. Aiken's not getting re-signed for next year. There's, I mean, very little depth on this wide receiver core at the moment anyhow. So you look at that, and basically if all those guys are gone, you've got Chester Rogers. If he gets, you know, I mean, wouldn't have been any receivers to speak of. And basically you're going to be continuing to hope that Jack Doyle can be, you know, both the receiver and the tight end and the H-back and everything else, which they're already trying to use him, and he's getting overworked. So none of that was going to happen. I can't even believe that somebody brought up Anthony Costanzo. I know that people have their differences with Anthony Costanzo as far as how they view him. You know, he's not an elite left tackle. He is a pretty damn good left tackle, though, and we would be in shambles if he wasn't on this offensive line. If you get me another guy that's his caliber or better, we wouldn't be in shambles. But here's the thing. How many times do you get tackles? They get hurt. Offensive line is one of the easiest places to get an injury. I mean, I know that we see, you know, yucky catches and just legs going sideways, and even like Turbin, you know, elbows going backwards and knees going backwards on running backs and stuff like that. But man, there's a reason why the offensive line is so coveted. And the reason that a good offensive lineman is so coveted is because it's so easy to get injured as an offensive lineman. People go through offensive linemen all the time. It's very seldom does it seem like it's an upper body issue. It's from somebody rolling on your knee or your ankle or a running back diving in the back of your legs. That stuff all the time. I would never want to be an offensive lineman just for that part right there, because you could it would have nothing to do with what you were doing, and you could get your entire career taken from you in an instant not because of anything you did, but because somebody rolled on you or swung around trying to make a tackle, or because a running back hit you in the back of your knee and just blows it out. That, to me, I mean, and Costanzo has been healthy almost his entire career. He's only missed a couple games, and, you know, I just think that that's worth a lot. So it didn't make any sense to me why somebody would want to trade Anthony Costanzo. I thought that was just stupid. Even the thought of it just didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And, you know, then you go, you know, around to Frank Gore, and, you know, that would have been probably a pretty good trade too. I mean, you know, you got to get a guy like that to a contender if you can get something valuable in return. And I mean something probably, I would say, higher than a fifth. Maybe, you know, if it was a high fifth or something like that, you know, one of the worst teams in the league giving you their fifth, then you've got two high fifth round picks, presumably depending on how the Colts finish this year, which is pretty much, you know, assumed to be a top 10 pick. So that would have been, you know, a pretty smart play as well. But, you know, it didn't happen. I mean, Jay Ajayi went to the Eagles, where there was a lot of trade talks for Frank Gore. Then, you know, there was, I can't remember. Oh, it was more trade talks for Gore with apparently some other team that was kind of unnamed. You know, so stuff like that. I mean, I come up with a couple different scenarios in a story yesterday on StampedeBlue.com, and it just kind of went through all that. So, I mean, Gore would have been good, but, you know, we're trying to trade Moncrief, and apparently the Colts were listening to offers about T.Y., and then you get Kelvin Benjamin going from the Panthers to the Bills, and then, you know, not that anybody was interested in having a quarterback trade, but, you know, you get Garoppolo going from the Patriots to the 49ers. And really, other than that, I mean, there was a couple more, like Dwayne Brown from the Texans, and I think it was Jeremy Lane was going to the Texans. That actually was nullified, if I'm not mistaken, because Lane didn't pass his physical. So now that trade didn't even happen. And so that's basically about it. And I mean, of course, in basic Cleveland Browns fashion, the Browns were trying to trade for A.J. McCarron and didn't get him, because apparently they didn't file the paperwork. Now, this was seen as, you know, some basically some idiot move that the Browns just didn't complete the process with the league. But apparently it was on purpose. They were the ones that nullified the trade with the league. So that's, you know, something that's gone back and forth. But that you're seeing stories on both ends of that, so it's kind of hard to tell which is actual reality. But it doesn't make sense that they would have, you know, not just send in their paperwork and whoops, we forgot. You know, that seems a little crazy, but a lot of people would say that that is the Cleveland Browns and that that's what they do, right? So there was quite a bit of trade stuff going on, something that was a little more active in the NFL than it has been in years past. And that's exciting because it's just something that we don't see a great deal of. And I even heard an argument today that somebody was saying that they wish that the trade deadline was like in week 10. Or, you know, something like that, because that would give, you know, teams a little more time to realize what they've got. Teams who are bad, like if let's say the Colts are two losses later, you know, I think that the Colts probably get rid of somebody, right? So the Colts end up acquiring some sort of a draft pick for one of the people that they're wanting to trade, and teams would be a little more active. Now, that's from an excitement from a fan point of view. That's not necessarily from a team point of view, because the team hopefully doesn't want to trade away anybody. They want to be acquiring people because that means they're in at least the conversation for their division. And that's just, you know, something that is just a different story and would be a different story if the trade deadline was in week 10. Right now, there are still some teams who are in the league and they just really don't know what they've got. You know, so they're a little apprehensive to pull the trigger on giving away a draft pick or acquiring another piece because they really don't know where they're at. I mean, the Colts do for the most part, but you're telling me, look, if the Colts are 2-8, they are trading somebody because they want draft picks. They're looking ahead. 2-8, you are done. You are mathematically eliminated, and there is nothing you can do about it. For the most part, if I'm not mistaken, the Colts are almost mathematically eliminated as it is. They're not, but two more losses, and they would be, most definitely. I just thought that maybe giving away Vontae Davis, maybe giving away Frank Gore, wasn't the two worst ideas in the world. And I would say that because the Colts have Josh Ferguson, the Colts have Matt Jones, and the Colts have Marlon Mack. That's not a killer backfield. Nobody, I mean, they're not going to win any rushing championships, you know, right now. We don't even know if Matt Jones can really do anything. He's only had a couple carries this year. But I think that it would be more apt to say, look, these are the three guys we've got. We're just going to make do with what we've got because we're going to move forward. And, you know, whether we get another running back or not, that's just not, you know, something we're going to worry about right this minute. We're going to worry about getting him, get another draft pick. There could be some other running backs come out. And they're actually sitting inside of the top five right now, the Indianapolis Colts are. Same thing with corner. You've got a second-round corner that you just drafted in Quincy Wilson, who hasn't seen the field much at all this year. You still got Rashawn Melvin. You've got a veteran who's playing really good football. Opposite him, if you start him, that gives you the whole second half of the season to see what you've got in Quincy Wilson. Getting rid of Vontae Davis would have probably been a little too steep price-wise for any of the suitors for him. But to me, that was something that I think that the Colts probably should have pushed a little harder on, even accepted a little less than whatever they thought was value, maybe offered to pay a bit more of his contract. The Colts are in fantastic shape next year already, even with all the contracts that they've got for next year, like 80-some million off the cap as far as I can remember. So they're in really good shape. That wouldn't have hurt the Colts at all. They would have earned another draft pick for it. And I think that they should have bent a little bit if people were interested. Now, bending is relative because you don't want to give away a seventh, you know, a guy for a seventh round pick. That would have been ridiculous. Something like that would have been just a total, you know, fuzz job. So, I mean, you don't do that. But all in all, this is kind of what I predicted as far as the Colts didn't do anything. I wouldn't have been surprised, even if the Colts were buyers, to get another 24, 25-year-old guy. And, you know, I even suggested Aaron Lynch or Carlos Hyde, a couple guys that would have made sense. Even if, let's say, the Colts get rid of Gore, you bring in Carlos Hyde, you've got a nice two-headed young backfield in there that you're looking to go with into the future. Aaron Lynch is a defensive end, kind of could probably play some outside linebacker, but also is just another big guy that is young, capable, would have been probably a good sell, but I don't know that the Colts would have been willing to come off a draft pick at all. That was just something I wasn't real sure what Ballard was going to do if he did anything, but I wasn't even slightly surprised that he didn't do anything at all. That just is the way you would assume most trade deadlines in the NFL are going to be. So thank you guys. Stay back. Stay here with me for just a few more minutes and take a quick break, and I'll be right back. Welcome back to the show here on the Colts Cast. I'm Matt Dainley. There's a couple things that we need to go through here real quick. We're going to run through some Pro Football Focus grades only because I think that some of these changes are pretty interesting, especially when you take into consideration what the Colts have done over the past few weeks. They just really haven't looked very good at all. Last week, Jacoby Brissett, as far as I'm concerned, probably had his best all-around game, being able to get the ball out on time, climbing the pocket when necessary, sometimes a little early, which got him into trouble, but getting the ball out, getting to his through multiple progressions on his drop back, being able to see the field, actually giving routes time to open up and trying to hit them with some anticipation at time, most of the time. So I think that he grew a little bit last week. He actually had a pretty good week, 2 touchdowns and a pick, but he is at 23rd right now among quarterbacks. I don't see that as being one way or the other. I think he was similar last week, and that's, you know, I can live with that. I don't think that there's anything, you know, necessarily off about that at all. Kind of a surprise here for the running backs, though. Marlon Mack is 26th overall with a 74.2 grade. I think that's interesting because Frank Gore, who's actually been running really, really well, is down all the way at 36 with a 68.8. Now, that does surprise me. And why does that surprise me? It surprises me because Mack has not been he hasn't been a run between the tackles guy like we kind of saw him do in the preseason. We saw him actually make guys miss in the hole. And that's something that you really liked from a guy who has a predisposition that you think from other scouts from, you know, as far as kicking it outside all the time. All he wants to do is get outside and run. And that's not something that we saw in the preseason. It seems like he's reverting back to that now. Now, to be fair, one of the times he was headed to the inside, he saw that the offensive line was breaking down, and he cut back and kicked out. So that is something that he did purely off of vision, which I can get behind that. However, it does seem like a lot of his moves are setting up to go outside, whereas sometimes he just needs to plug it and then just hit the middle no matter what. Looking at wide receivers, T.Y. Hilton for the Indianapolis Colts, all the way down at 36 with a 75.9. That's not going to scare anybody, anything at all. The Colts right now, their wide receiver core is not looking pretty. I think that it's going to turn around. I don't know how much it'll turn around. As it definitely won't turn around as a result of Jacoby Brissett. But I would like to see it turn around and still have Jacoby Brissett be a reasonable quarterback right now for the Colts, because the Colts really need to see him grow. The Colts really need for him to show that he can be the guy that does throw with anticipation, that can feed his big playmakers, and that can get to multiple receivers in a game instead of focusing just on Jack Doyle or somebody like that in the entire game. And that's something that really needs to happen. Even if Jack Doyle's having a great game like he did this past Sunday, he needs to be able to find more receivers. Now, going into what we've got, the all 22 now, and going to look at Dante Moncrief, and try to see what Moncrief is doing, what Brissett is doing, and who's kind of at fault there for the low, just ridiculously low amount of targets for him over the past couple weeks. I don't know whether Jacoby's ignoring him or whether, you know, Moncrief just simply isn't getting open. So I'm anxious to see that. Over at the tight ends, Jack Doyle is number 24 overall with a 67.5 grade. He had a fantastic week Sunday, like I said, and I would expect him to continue to rise up those ranks, because if he's nothing else, he's consistent, and he's going to be, you know, somebody who is probably a top 10, top 15 tight end by the end of the year in my estimation. So over at the tackles, Anthony Costanzo is 10th overall with an 80.6. I think, just like I told you guys earlier, I think it's ridiculous to assume that Anthony Costanzo is worth being traded. He's not an elite top five. He's probably not a top 10 tackle. I think a lot of his grade comes from his running grade. He's very good in the run. He's above average in pass protection, if not very good. And I think that it takes an elite pass rusher to beat him more than a couple times a game. We see him get beat probably a time or two a game, but man, on like what, 70, 75, 80 snaps? That's pretty good. I mean, it really is. You've got to consider how many times they go up against each other, how many times he's actually trying to help inside, and just so on. There's a lot to account for. So with that, I'm pleasantly, you know, happy with what Anthony Costanzo brings to the Indianapolis Colts. And I think he's a valuable asset that they need to keep around as long as they can, until they can get a couple more tackles that are actually showing some, you know, legitimate signs of being good quality players. Down at number 40 overall, Joe Haig with a 67.1 grade. Not been impressed with him so far, but that right side has really been LaRaven Clark. But LaRaven Clark has really been a disappointment at guard. I know he's not a guard, he's a tackle, but he just really looks inept at that. And that surprises me a little bit, because he's a big, strong guy, he's athletic, and he just isn't doing anything to make anybody presume that he's going to be on this team further, you know, going forward. It's just, I don't think it's going to happen. Jeremy Vunovich, however, is the top-rated guard for the Colts, 69th overall with 37.6. That ought to tell you something about the Colts' interior. It's just been kind of pathetic as of late. And, you know, between Vunovich being an issue all season, LaRaven Clark being an issue since he's been in there just the past couple weeks, you know, that's a major problem as far as I'm concerned. The Colts have very little to go on in their interior. Ryan Kelly has been struggling as well, at least per Pro Football Focus. Now, to be honest with you, I haven't watched much over, but a couple weeks ago I watched him and saw a lot of his snaps, and I was just flabbergasted when I saw the grade that Pro Football Focus gave him, because he was so good that week. He was so good. helping both the guards. He was excellent. He did let some pressure get through a couple times. But other than that, I mean, he was as automatic as possible other than those two mix-ups. And right now they've got him ranked at 34th overall. And his grade is a 38.3. That completely blows my mind. I don't understand that. However, he hasn't played well the past 2 weeks. He's been injured. That's understandable. But, you know, it is what it is, I suppose. Rashawn Melvin still ranked at number 10 overall with the cornerbacks with an 86.4. I hope that he gets back from his concussion protocol very quickly, but I also hope that he's fully ready. I don't want him to come back and just be a disaster and be a different guy. If he's not the same guy, they've got to, you know, find a way to let him rest. It's not worth it because he's a guy who you could legitimately keep next year. And I would be interested in doing that because if nothing else, if you find out that you've got another corner on top of Quincy Wilson, who you either are going to draft or you're going to bring in, Rashawn Melvin, if nothing else, if he's not a starter, he's 10th by Pro Football Focus, I'd say he's probably a top 10 corner in the league right now. I think that's fairly close, top 10, top 15. But if you are going to say that, you know, Rashawn Melvin's not good depth, and as cheap as he is, he's 28. That's ridiculous, man. That dude, you know, he can do that as far as I'm concerned. Keep him because this guy is a battler. He's a hard-nosed dude. I love him on the team. The Colts nickel corner, Nate Hairston, is 81st overall with a 56.4 grade right now. Now, I think that he's probably a little better than that as well. But his bad games have been pretty bad. I mean, they've been obvious. But the one thing that I do love about him, and Kevin Hickey, who was on the show with me the other night, he pointed it out too. One of the best things about him is they really like using that nickel blitz, and it's really done fantastic things for them. It allows another guy to get pressure. They don't seem to see it coming either with him for some reason. So whatever they're doing, they need to keep dialing up some of that. But as long as they can, you know, kill the pressure and kill the coverage on the back end for sure. All the way down to the safeties now. Of course, Malik Hooker is ranked in the top 35 as well at 32nd overall with a 77.3, but it's kind of pointless to talk about him being that he's not going to play the rest of the year. Mathias Farley, however, is 38th overall with a 75.2. Grade, and you know, his is kind of wishy-washy for me. I think that he does a lot good as far as he's a good strong side guy, but he really struggles on the back end for coverage, and that's just something that, you know, the Colts are just going to have to deal with this year. That's just the way it is. Hopefully next year we'll have Gethers and Hooker back. That would be a hell of a safety combo. It'll be a lot of fun to watch those two work together. We might get Gethers back this year. I'm just not holding my breath. I think with that guy's injury, it's just something that you need to understand that is probably, I think, is reasonable to think that he may not come back this year. Going to the linebackers, John Bostic for the Colts is 74th overall with a 39.3 grade. Antonio Morrison is 80th overall with a 35.9. And, you know, obviously when we get to some of the other guys like Jeremiah George and stuff, they don't really have enough of the snaps to get their grade, you know, whatever you want to call it. But he's working on a 72.5 grade right now. So, I mean, I think that getting him some extra snaps might be ideal. Considering that Bostic and Morrison are absolutely terrible at this point, they're fairly good against the run, even though they don't get a good grade. They are run stoppers, and that's what they're there for. We did get to see Bostic, and I think a lot of what Bostic's improvement has been as far as his grade has been because he's been able to create some pressure, and it's been noticeable. So I'm wondering if that has something to do with it at all. But getting over to the interior defense, Jonathan Hankins for the Colts is 24th overall with an 83.4. Al Woods, he is 28th overall with an 82.8 grade. Now, Henry Anderson is one of the guys who, has, as far as I'm concerned, has shot up just the eyeball test and everything else. He's coming in at 42nd overall, tied with Marcel Darius at 80 for his grade. Now, Henry Anderson is a guy who, in my opinion, is going to be here for a while. I don't see that the Colts want to go off of him for any reason. He's finally healthy. He's finally getting himself all together now, and I'm excited to see what he's got. Out to the outside, linebackers or the edge guys, Jabal Sheard is 17th overall for the Colts with an 83.7 grade. I'm pretty happy with how he's come around since the first week. John Simon, who's out right now, is 41st overall with a 77.8 grade. And, you know, I really want him to get back because I'm excited to see what he can do because he needs to get back. I mean, he's just a guy who's really been the heart and soul of his defense, I think, since he's been here. Barcavius Mingo, 76th overall, and he is at a 70.1. I was very impressed with what Barcavius Mingo brought to the defense last week. I think that he does a lot for this Colts team, and I think that right now this Colts team needs as many guys on this team who can prove that they are worthy. And he's a guy who's worthy as far as I'm concerned. He's got the speed. He puts the backup, the secondary moves together. He gets some inside pressure on some twists. I really like what he brings. I think he's a guy that you want on this team, if nothing else, for the guy's pure effort. I mean, because the guy is at it all the time. So hang tight. We're going to go for one more break, and then we'll be back with the last section of the show. All right, guys, welcome back. So let's talk a little bit about Andrew Luck real quick. Now, if you guys remember back early in one of the first few episodes of the Colts cast, I had Dr. Gene Bramble from Football Guys on here, and he was talking to us a little bit about Andrew Luck and his injury, trying to kind of explain it in layman's terms for us because most of us don't really know a lot of the medical, ins and outs of the shoulder and everything that goes into it. Well, he did another, Periscope the other day, and he mentioned some stuff about Andrew Luck, and he basically said that the extra, opinions that they're looking to get are because they want to make sure Andrew and whoever is looking for these extra opinions, they want to see what the reasoning is, I guess you could say, why his shoulder is acting the way it is. He said that it could have been possibly too loose, like it just has been some extra soreness, and it's just something that isn't typical, but it's not like a game changer or anything like that, and they just, it just may not have, it may have healed correctly, it's just something that's continued to bug him and all this. But he said it could also be to where when they fixed it, that they tightened it up too much, and that he's going to have to work his way out of that, and that takes a while, and apparently is pretty painful as well. So basically what he went on to say is that, there's a couple different reasons that his shoulder could be the way it is. He does not expect Andrew Luck to play this year. He does assume that the Colts are going to put him on IR. I know there's been some stories floating around on Twitter and stuff about it. But, basically this doesn't, it doesn't take genius level assumptions right here to assume that when he is the way he is, if he continues to have soreness and to be, not understanding that his shoulder is not right off of some simple throws, then they're going to IR him. I mean, at this point, and I think that the Colts did right. I keep seeing these people that want to talk about, Andrew or the Colts with Irsay and Ballard and Pagano, they've all lied to us the whole time. I don't know if that I see it that way. First of all, I don't really know what you mean by that. What did they tell you? They told us, at the beginning, they think that this is all a ploy to sell tickets. But look, who was the one that told you guys originally that he was going to be back at the beginning of the season? It was Jim Irsay and Andrew Luck and everybody else. They just assumed that it would be because why? Because that was the information that they were given when the shoulder surgery was done. Okay. Now, a lot of ladies people, I would say, like you and I, when we have surgeries and stuff on our shoulder, it probably takes more than a full calendar year and a half, for it to get itself back in line. However, we're talking about a professional athlete with all of the medical stuff that he could possibly want to rehab that shoulder, to make it better, all the medicine that he wants as far as keeping the inflammation down and everything else. All of that is afforded to him, all of it. Whereas for you and I, it would not be. I mean, not without some serious pay. And we're not going out trying to rehab, like hardcore rehab, to get it better the way he is. So of course it's going to take longer for you and I to heal. But I've gotten some stories from people that have said, hey, I've had my shoulder done like that, and it took me almost 2 years to be better. Granted, I wasn't in any hurry to get my shoulder to throw 40-yard passes. I was just wanting my shoulder to make it, or, you know, I just wanted my shoulder to be better so that I could, you know, work and do what I was supposed to do. But look, Andrew Luck was rehabbing for a purpose, right? Because he needs that shoulder to throw footballs, and it's just going to go faster for him. He's a professional athlete. I mean, and one of the best quarterbacks, you know, his age group for sure in the league. And this is something that we have to understand. This is why he was rehabbing as quickly as he was. And this is why everybody thought he would be back at the beginning of the season. Now, things start rolling. He waits a little bit too long to decide for himself that this is what I want to do. I want to have surgery. I want to get it done. Let's get it done. So he gets it done. It takes a little bit longer. We're assuming maybe by week one, right? I just don't see it as selling tickets because, look, as fickle as the Indianapolis Colts fan base is, as I wouldn't say fair weather, but we are not a large market. The Indianapolis Colts, the Indiana Pacers, none of that. It's not large market stuff, but they sell tickets anyways, okay? Not only that, but you've got Jacoby Brissett in there, and not like he's not an Andrew Luck name, but you've still got T.Y. Hilton. You've still got Henry Anderson. You've still got all these guys that everybody wanted to say, hey, look, I bought three tickets. I bought tickets to three games this year. Two of them, I knew that Andrew Luck wasn't going to play. So don't tell me that these guys lying is selling people tickets. You know why? Because it's just as easy to go back online and sell those tickets if you don't want to go, if you don't think Andrew Luck's coming. Because people will buy them. I would buy them. I have bought them. Now, going to the Jaguars game in week 7, I legitimately thought that there was probably the best chance I had to get to see Luck. Obviously, if I was going to buy him, I almost bought him to the Thursday night game against the Broncos later on this year, but I didn't. And I was kind of wanting to do that as well. However, the Colts don't need to sell these tickets. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are games that a lot of people aren't going to be there, and it's against crappy teams, okay? But I'm not worried. I don't feel like they lied to anybody. That's what they thought. They've continued to move it back, right? If they hadn't, they would have put him on IR. If they didn't think he was going to play, they'd have put him on IR. They don't need one season of tickets. I'm pretty sure that the Colts lived through Peyton Manning's 2011 season when he was out with surgery, right? People still came to the game to watch Curtis Painter, Dan Orlovsky, and whoever else throw footballs that was just an absolute crap show. People still came. They're still going to come. It happens. Don't go through this thinking that you were lied to. They told you that they thought he was going to be ready for week one. They retracted it, went back. They tried to tell us that, you know, we don't really know. Pagano even himself, maybe his passive attitude the entire time about I don't know anything meant because he was being Chuck Pagano, and we just can't stand that anyways as far as the way he is with his press conferences. But you look at the way what he was saying, and he just didn't know. He doesn't know. Look, the guy looks like he's great. His shoulder's fine. I seen him throw a couple times, even though he never told us that, and he looks fine, you know. But I'm not a doctor, and I can't tell you this because why? One, because his higher-ups are telling him to keep his mouth shut, and two, because none of them are doctors. None of them. And it's a sketchy situation. It wasn't just his shoulder. It was his throwing shoulder. That's a big difference. Not only does the shoulder have to heal. Look, if it was his left shoulder, Andrew Luck would have been back in week 2, week 3, okay? Andrew Luck would have been throwing footballs. And it would have been just, you know, you're just taking the chance of injuring it again with a sack or something like that. But there's no need. I mean, are we assuming that every Colts fan is that stupid for the rest of the week that, or for the rest of the season, that even if they don't put him on IR right now, that they really think he's going to be back? I mean, up to this point, I would say I thought he'd be back, not because they told me so, but because of the length of time that he's been out. Obviously, there was not only a setback to where he had to have a cortisone shot, had soreness, but they need to find out why. That's another process all within itself. So I'm not too worried about it. Get over this, they lied to you stuff. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. You either want to watch the Colts play at home or you want to watch the Colts play in person. Or you don't want to watch Colts play at all. I don't really care. Neither does anybody else. So if you want to be a Colts fan and you want to watch the game, just watch the game. Quit worrying about if Andrew Luck's there right now, because he's not. And he's not probably going to be there this year. But you can still go to the Colts game, or you can wait till next year and go to the Colts game. Jim Irsay's pockets are not going to lose any of their fatness simply because you didn't go or your cousin didn't go to a Colts game. They're going to be fine. 1 year without Luck, without some of those seats being filled, is not hurting anybody. Make no mistake about it. Because they're charging you $10 a drink or $10 for nachos and everything else. They're making their money. Don't worry about them. I promise. They are not worried about, you know, the slimmest of margins. And maybe they are. It doesn't even matter. It just really doesn't matter, because it's going to be the way it is. And people, you know, haven't been showing up to some of the crappier games. That's normal with any team. I mean, very few teams have an Andrew Luck type quarterback, right? So what are they? Are they all just lying to their fans because they don't have a franchise quarterback? I don't know. Don't worry your pretty little heads about all this stuff. You either want to watch the game or you don't. So I don't know right now. I would assume, and it sounds by, David Chow, who's another football doctor, was for the San Diego Chargers, I believe, back in the day, until he got himself in trouble for basically being, for lack of better words, like a street doctor almost. And it backfired. Anyways, he's been pretty vocal about the Andrew Luck thing and saying that, you know, he expects him to be out for the season, but he goes back and forth with all different types of stuff and basically trying to continue to be relevant and everything else. But you can read into all this as much as you want. It is what it is. And, he's not going to play this year. I'd say that would be your safe bet. So the Colts have Jacoby Brissett. They didn't trade anybody. Some of the Pro Football Focus grades are kind of crazy, but some of them are pretty intense, and they're moving up. And I think that we've got some good players that we're going to build on with the future. And look, as I've reminded you guys each and every week, the Colts right now have a foundation for the future. That is exactly what this season was supposed to be, right? We've gone through this. That's what it's turned out to be. Even though we had more hope at some points in the season, A, that Luck was going to come back, B, that some of these guys were going to be game changers or big-time players. And they just, I mean, some of them have turned out to be really good players, but I wouldn't say any big-time players. So, I mean, look, it ended up being what we thought it was going to be, even though our excitement level got a little high at times. So let's just roll with it. We're 2-6 right now. They've got another half of the season to go. I don't see the Colts approaching 500 right now. I see maybe a couple games that the Colts could reasonably, battle for a win. I mean, look, anytime you play the Texans, Jaguars, or the Titans, you've got a chance to win a game. The Colts do play the Texans this week, and right now, that is not a good game for the Colts. That is not a good matchup. Deshaun Watson is just murdering people with his arm. Their defense is playing pretty well, except for, you know, the game against Seattle. But all in all, the AFC South at this moment is still kind of the AFC South. There's still opportunity for wins, whether they get them or not. You know, that's something that we'll have to find out later on. But we're going to come back with another show later on in the week. We're going to try to break down as much about the Houston Texans as we can. It may not be a lot of actually the breaking down of the team, but we're going to look at the matchup. We're going to look at where the Colts maybe can succeed, where they should be, you know, pretty worried as far as what kind of matchups they've got going on with their guys. But we'll look at all that. We'll try to get another guest in here at some point in the week and get as much knowledge to you guys as possible before the Colts face off against the Houston Texans. So thank you guys all for listening. Truly appreciate all you guys are doing for the show. Please share it. Please, you know, retweet it or share it on Facebook or you know, tell your friends and your family about it or just whatever. Also get to Apple Podcasts. Please rate and review the show. We've gotten a little stagnant on that, but we're trying for that 100 review plateau right there. Hit that so we can give away another jersey. I'm really looking forward to that. That helps our show grow. So yes, it is self-interest that I'm trying to get those up. However, that's why I'm giving away the jerseys, because I want you guys to get something in return for that, and I appreciate it, and I want you to know that I appreciate it. But this helps the show grow. It helps everything happen with the show. And it just, you know, overall, it just makes a big difference. And I appreciate it immensely. Not only that, love talking with you guys on any of those platforms, just sharing football stuff and everything else. So make sure you guys are getting also to StampedeBlue.com. Check out all of our analysis, news, updates, and notes, and everything that comes along with the Indianapolis Colts. You can follow me on Twitter at MDainley_NFL. You can follow the show at SB Colts Cast on Twitter as well. Thank you guys for hanging out with me again today. I'll talk to you again at the end of the week right here on the Colts Cast.